Jamie. I'm the children's pastor at City Church in Swansea. I've been there for about 4.5 years now. I'm also on the Limitless Kids team and have been for about 3 years, let's say. How I ended up where I ended up is because I went to Regent's after university for a year, and I knew by the end of my time there, I knew what I was passionate about. I was passionate about working with children. I was passionate about ministering to young girls in particular, like teenage years. And I was also passionate about worship. And so what I love about my job now is that I get to combine all of these things in what I do. I want to preface by saying that I am not an expert on the things of the supernatural by any stretch of the imagination, And this session, therefore, isn't about like all the tick boxes that you need to make sure the Holy Spirit turns up in your sessions with kids, because we all know that that's not how it works. What it is, though, is about journey and where I have been, where I am at right now, and how I've kind of gotten to where I'm meant to be. So I was really like, I just had this passion. I've grown up in Pentecostalism. So I've been going to an Elim church since I was 6 years old. And so I've grown up like hearing testimonies of the supernatural stuff. Heard, yeah, just loads of different things about what God has done. You know, I heard people talk about how, you know, God healed them from this disease and that disease. And I wanted to, it never really felt like personal, because it was never someone that I knew directly. And I was like, God, like, I know what I read of in the Bible, and I want to see that with my own two eyes. And so that's kind of growing up, that's kind of just grown with me. I know in church, in Christian life, I think in general, what tends to happen is that on a Sunday or when we go to like these events, we get to see the result. We get to see like what's happened after the journey. So, for example, it's completely different, but like we see children grow up looking at marriages. People are on the platform who have got really amazing marriages, but what they don't know is that before, you know, there was years and years of work that have gone into it, and I think we don't get to see the journey. And so really this session is about me talking about the journey that I've been on and the journey that I'm still on, because to be honest, I feel like I'm still very much a beginner when it comes to the things of the supernatural. So here's a little bit about my journey. There's some standout supernatural testimonies I think I've heard, and I'm like, oh God, I'd love to like experience that. So for example, the old senior minister of my church that I grew up in, he was diagnosed with cancer and was given 3 months to live. And 20 years later, he's now a retired minister. And so those are the things that I was like, I remember hearing that as a child going, wow, like God, you actually do things that you talk about in the Bible. Another example is that I'm not even sure if Tim would remember this, but when I was at Regent's, we had something called a Holy Spirit night. I served as one of the youth leaders on placement when I was at Regent's in a church called the Source Church. And there was one night we had a Holy Spirit night, and I was leading worship, and there was people being prayed for and stuff, and I was busy in the heavenlies worshiping. And I remember Tim coming up on the mic and sort of sharing this testimony about how a girl, basically someone prayed for her, and in that moment her leg had grown. I think she had one leg that was slightly shorter than the other, and in that moment her leg had grown. And I just remember feeling like, God, oh my goodness, thank you, but why wasn't I the one to see, like, why didn't I get to see the leg grow? Why didn't you use me in that way? And so throughout my life, I just have had this deep desire to actually see what God was doing and not just hear about it and actually take part in it as well. As I became a children's pastor, I'd tell stories about the Father and about how he would do these miraculous things in the Old Testament. And then Jesus, when he came into the world, you know, as he grew up and did his ministry, I would see and tell stories about, like, you know, God, he was able to like help like a blind man see. It's quite disgusting. He spat on like, and then he like rubbed it in his eye, and then he could see, and all this like really cool stuff. And I'm like, God, you did that then, and I know that you can do it in this day, and I believe that one day that I will see it, but why? Why aren't you doing it? And why aren't you using me to do it? And so I got this, passion to see children have supernatural encounters with God. In one sense, I know I'm speaking to the converted here, but children are the church of today. I said it the other day as well. Children are the church of today. So it's not reserved. God's healing power, the supernatural, being able to prophesy, it's not reserved for young people. It's not reserved for adult church. Actually, children can take part in that as well. He doesn't wait until they're adults. And so what does it look like for an 8-year-old who has been bound in a wheelchair since birth to walk for the first time in the power and the name of the Holy Spirit? What does it look like for their parents to see that their child is walking? But then what does it look like if the person that prays for that child in the wheelchair is the child? And again, I believe that God, he's done these things and he wants to do these things again in our day. And so just this passion has kept growing inside of me. I think God wants to use children to participate in what he's doing in the kingdom. I often think about the boy, and it's been mentioned again this week already, the boy who gave Jesus his lunch and then watched Jesus turn it into food to feed 5,000 men, not to mention the women and the children. And that boy, he participated in what God was doing in that moment. So this is what I'm like in the Bible, children participate in the things that God is doing. If he done it in the Bible, he's the same God. He can do it now. And so at Limitless Leaders last year, so for anyone that might have been sort of logged on, it was online. It was kind of all through Zoom or via Zoom. We had really like incredible sessions, incredible speakers. And there was one session called From Sit and Watch to Signs and Wonders. And it had a panel of three people. And Tim was asking these people different questions to sort of speak into how we can foster and how we can lead children and young people in the things of the supernatural in lockdown. And at the end, there was a Q&A. And I'd asked a question that they then proceeded to answer with a lot of wisdom. And we're going to just watch a clip from where Tim basically asked the question and what their answers were. So it's about 5 minutes, and then we'll get back to what I wanted to talk about.
There's some great questions, I just love this one because this is so honest and so vulnerable, and that's really what we want to encourage amongst all the leaders gathering, because that's how we grow, isn't it? And so Naomi's written, this might sound ridiculous, almost embarrassing, but I've never seen someone get healed before. I've never seen a big miracle. I believe for it for sure, but I've not experienced it. I want to teach and empower my kids in this, but how do I lead them through that even though I've not been there? Any helpful resources for learning to live in this and then lead in it, this? That is a lovely question, Naomi. Thank you so much for your honesty. Mike, could I come to you on that one?
Well, I was going to say, I mean, the answer to that is very obvious, very straightforward and very, very clear. And Susie and Andy are going to give it.
I think you've got the wisdom, Mike.
Seriously, that is a great question. And I'm not sure I've got a great answer, because I think that's something that we all battle with, you know. And do you know, my prayer this last year has been, Lord, why don't we see more? Why don't we see more of what is in the New Testament? In the Acts of the Apostles, we long to see, you know, just more of you setting people free. And I think it's a journey we go on. And I think we're honest about where we are, but we are also honest about who God is. And we say, we're going to keep seeking, you know. And I think there's something about perseverance that is, it's the missing gift in the church. You know, it really is that the gift of plodding, the gift of saying, yeah, we're going to have another go. I mean, I think, honestly, we live in an instant culture, mm-hmm, where we expect our Big Mac within seconds, and you don't get spirituality like that. You know, that if it's going to be deep, it's like a really good meal. You know, a really good meal. And I know what I'm talking about here. Needs a lot of cooking and preparation. You know, I know about food. I think it, the same is true of this. And I think there's a place for battling. There's a place for keeping going. You know, keep on knocking. You know, that's what Jesus said. You know, with, you know, my cupboard's bare. I've not seen anything. I haven't got anything to give this person, but I know who has. I know who has the resources, so I'm going to keep knocking and not give in. And I think so often we give up just before we see the miracle sometimes.
Yes.
I don't know a better answer to that, and I know there's provisos with that, but I think I think faith is so often simply getting up again.
Yeah.
I think it's simply getting up again.
Yeah.
And honestly, then you're amazed when it happens.
Mm.
Then you're amazed when it happens. And yeah. There are better answers than that, but that's the best I could do.
No, it's a good answer, Mike. Very good answer. The only thing I can add a little bit is in the network of parents, we try and do family-based youth ministry. So we've got some discipling groups, but actually it's their siblings, it's the parents. We're trying to create a hub, a community out of their parents. And we've got all sorts of people in different situations and contexts. But actually, we're getting parents just to pray for their own kids by name. Simple as that. We're getting them actually on Zoom. We're doing it. We got into the habit before COVID came along, but just this habit of people praying for my 16-year-old boy or my 10-year-old girl, well, she's 10 tomorrow, and just praying for someone else's child. And we have seen astonishingly encouraging results, guys. Just by praying, and it's like a desperation from parents often, you know. But come on, I think we could be standing in the gap. Mike mentioned the word battle. I'm sorry, but I think there's a battle going on.
Yeah.
And these kids and these young people are thermometers of the wider church, you know. And we're against that context. I got a group of young people in Togo, Lomé, to pray for England just back in December. And I was amazed at the stuff they got for us, guys. It was quite shocking what these African young people got as were things over England at this time, a sleepiness. And they were kind of calling us as they were praying to a wake up. We'd got a little bit dull. And so Mike, I think, said that, come on, we need to do a bit of a wake up. And perseverance, come on, we're going to see breakthrough, you know.
I think also, real quick, Tim, it's just being really honest and vulnerable with the young people yourself. Like, it's really hard when you're praying for a miracle and you don't see God break through in whatever way that is.
Yeah.
Whether that's yourself or it's a friend or family, it's painful. And we live between, the mystery and the miracle. And so it's having a theology and an understanding and a teaching that teaches the young people and is real. And so for me, I've got this ongoing shoulder injury because I like stacked it on the stage, and it's been prayed for more times than the cows come home, but it's never been healed.
Yeah.
And so often I say to the young people, I just don't get it. Like, I don't understand it all, because we don't. And I think there's an element to which we don't understand it. And it's being real and vulnerable and honest and standing with people in the pain of it as well. When people don't get healed, is really important.
Yeah.
Yes.
Can I just add quickly one very quick thing that just came, I was reminded. In all of this, don't despise the day of small things.
Mm.
And do you know, it's like sometimes we look for this huge thing, and, you know, just getting folk just to pray for each other, that God would bless people. You know, that's what? Right. That's just as valuable.
Yeah.
It's all as valuable. You know, love is what we're aiming for. And that's, you know,
right. That's right.
Make love your aim and eagerly desire the spiritual gifts.
Right.
If we eagerly desire the spiritual gifts without making love our aim, we're in real trouble.
Yeah.
Very good.
And love that causes us to desire and just rejoice in the small things, I think.
Fabulous. Like, already in there, we can see, just from, like, one question, there was so much wisdom in the supernatural. The thing, do you know what I loved about what Mike said? The gift of plodding. I've not forgotten that all year. The whole year, anytime I attempt to do anything spiritual, the gift of plodding, it's just, I'm like, Lord, I'm plodding. But it's so, so good. And that just leads me to, basically, what I want to do for the next few minutes, or essentially the rest of our time, is to talk about 10 different things that we can do. So 5 things that we should do for ourselves and 5 things we should do when it comes to leading the things of the supernatural. And so 5 nuggets of wisdom for us. Number one, which is really on the back of what we were just watching, learn from those who have gone before us. I think the best thing that we can do is surround ourselves with people who have led in the things of the supernatural. There's points where the clips, like, I'm so glad that we got access to these, because I went and I watched some of the stuff that was said. This was the session I watched over and over again to just keep writing down nuggets and learn from the people, the giants, you know, in these kinds of things. Surround yourself and immerse yourself where you can experience these things. Conferences like this are so good for us. And actually, it's how I ended up meeting and is eventually being on the Limitless Kids team. When I first started my job as a children's pastor, I knew no one. I didn't know. I was a Sunday school teacher, but I never met anyone else that did what I did, like, from my previous church. And so when I became a children's pastor, I had experience in leading children, I guess, to an extent, but I didn't know how to lead a children's ministry. I didn't know how to recruit volunteers and things like that. And so someone, I can't even remember who it is, it might have even been Tim Olford, gave me Emma Bacon's name and M. Price's name. And I contacted them and I was like, how do I do this? And so coming to things like this and talking to people who have expertise, you might not feel like as experts, but believe me, parents think that we are the experts. And so meeting people who do what you do, I love the fact that Emma is so passionate about worship, and she comes, no, shameless plug, but she goes to different churches. She started to go to different churches and teach on that. And that's not, I love worship, but that's not what I'm an expert in. And so there's nothing wrong with getting people and learning from the people who have gone before us. Mike Pilavachi is one of, like, in my, for me growing up, is one of the people that I really look up to, because the supernatural things he makes really, really simple. And believe it or not, I've never been to a Soul Survivor, but I've been to loads of events where he's spoken, and he always practices what he preaches. And it's always so simple. It's always so, God, like, wow, like, he's really, really good, but he doesn't overcomplicate the spiritual things. I can do that in my local context. So learn from the people who have gone before you. Before the disciples were sent out, in Matthew 10, the disciples are sent out to go and, like, heal people and cast out demons and things like that. But before they were sent out, they had to learn. They had to surround themselves with Jesus. Jesus was teaching them. He taught the Beatitudes, and he taught the Sermon on the Mount and stuff like that. Then he took them for them to witness him healing people, and then he sent them out. And so it's about being around the people who have gone before us. One of the things that I felt is that I've not really been around people, apart from, like, going to events like this and seeing Mike, like, in my everyday, there wasn't really anyone who I looked up to when it came to the things of the supernatural. Every now and again in a service, something supernatural, or what I classed, I guess, at the time as supernatural, was done. But there was no one who kind of, in my lifetime, was living in it. And so you might feel like, well, actually, like, I want to, and I believe that God can do these things, but I'm not really surrounded by anyone who I can learn from in that area. Hearing testimonies is really, really important, and it's quite encouraging. I don't know for you guys, but it's always really encouraging to hear testimonies. So Emma Bacon, I've not read this book, but Emma Bacon has suggested this book, and it's called Children and the Supernatural. And basically it gives testimonies of how children have taken part in supernatural things that have happened. So if you're one of those people that feels like you're not necessarily surrounded by that, you can still learn from others by things like reading. And so one of the giveaways that we are going to do, we've been doing giveaways all week, which is amazing. So rather than do it at the end, I think I'll just do it now. Children and the Supernatural, this is one of the books that we are going to be giving away in this session. So you would have all had your what are they called again? Raffle tickets. And Martin is going to choose a name from the pot. Hey, so this is yours. You can come and get it. I've got another one back there, but you can have this one. Unfortunately, we've got two more books to give away. Unfortunately, the other two I don't actually have with me, so I'll have to send it to you, but you will get it. But really, really good. I would really, there's another copy of it, so if you want to take a picture of it or something at the end, surround yourself with and learn from those who have gone before us. Surround yourself with people, the giants, you know. The second thing is know what you have and who you have access to. Know what's available for us. We need to know what we are asking God for. Jesus healed. Can I heal? Well, yes. But also, the gift of teaching is supernatural. Children can participate in the supernatural, and be supernaturally gifted in areas of teaching. Giving is a supernatural gift as well that's given to God. And so, you know, we think of the supernatural stuff as prophesying. We think of the supernatural stuff as praying for someone and healing the sick. And if I'm being honest, my mind and my soul was limited to that as well. But actually, after going through scripture and reading the spiritual gifts that we as Christians, and yes, that means everyone, have access to, it made me go, oh, actually, God, there are way more things that maybe I thought was so normal. I've grown up in church, so it was so normal to me. That's actually a supernatural gift from you. And knowing it for ourselves and living in it in ourselves and then communicating that to children makes them realize that, oh, like, I am living in the supernatural. I'm already taking part in the things of the supernatural. So know what and who you have access to. The next slide, if I can, I've got a bit of a cheat sheet for us all. Believe it or not, if you don't take a picture of it now, take a picture of it. You can literally find it on Google. These are the passages in scripture, the main passages in scripture where there's spiritual gifts. I want to encourage you guys, take the time to read through these passages. And like, if you know anything about Bible study, go and like look into what each of these things are, so that we can start living in it. Because it's not just like the gift of prophecy isn't just reserved for one person. As a Christian, we have access to the gift of prophecy, the gift of serving, words of wisdom, all these different things, miracles, hospitality. I did not know until reading that hospitality was a spiritual gift, but it is. So if you might not be able to prophesy, but if you have people around your house and people really love being around you and you're really a good host, that's a spiritual gift, because that's stuff that was practiced in the Word of God. That is stuff that was practiced when Jesus was on the planet. So come on, like, let's surround ourselves and let's know what we have access to when it comes to the spiritual gifts. There's no point trying to communicate something that we don't actually know about ourselves. The third thing is have a hunger for it, live it and love it. It is for you as a disciple of Jesus. Sometimes I think when we read the Bible, we get fairy tale syndrome. And I'll tell this a children's story to the kids and I'll read it as if like I'm going to start with once upon a time and end with and they all lived happily ever after. But the reality of the Bible is that it's real. It happened. The things that we read about, this actually happened. God did actually part seas so that the Israelites can walk through it. God, Jesus did actually raise Lazarus from the dead. These are things that were done, and he's the same God, so he can do it now. In the kingdom, often things are caught and not taught. If we are living lives where our children, or if you're a parent and maybe you don't work with kids, can witness the supernatural things, then they can do it themselves. The fourth thing is this. Remember that God puts his super in our natural. It's not us. We have a part to play, yes, and we can act in obedience. That is literally our part. Listen from God, hear from God, act in obedience. But it's God who does the hard work. The healing and the prophesying and the teaching, if God doesn't move in the way that we want him to, that's God's decision in that moment. We still win with him because of our obedience. Living in and from a place where the supernatural isn't reserved for the super special, or the holy Christians, is what we're called to do. One of the things that have really helped me this year as I've gone on this journey, when in when that clip was being shown and I'd asked that question, one of the things that a lot of people were typing in the chat was Mike's book. So it's written by Mike and Andy Croft, and it's called Everyday Supernatural. And they were like, read this book, read this book, read this book. So I'd be a fool to not do that. So I did. And it was so, so good because, you know, we're talking about journey. This book was full of, like, the things that went wrong. Like, so it's got stories. Mike and Andy tell stories about the thing when they've tried to do supernatural things in obedience to God. And sometimes it goes right and sometimes it goes wrong. And it's really fun. You know how, I don't know if you've ever heard Mike speak, but he's really funny and, like, he tells. So there's loads of, like, that kind of Mike type story in here. And it's really what was really helpful for me was that I saw that they didn't start being the people that we see them as today. They started by wanting to, you know, surrounding themselves and then trying it out as, like, people that didn't really understand what they were doing. So if you haven't read this book, I would highly, highly recommend that you do read this book. And yeah, it just humanized the whole sort of thing for me. So Martin, if we could do the second one, we are going to be giving out this book again. Sorry, I can't give it to you today, but I will get it sent to you. So the second one is 130. Way, there we go. So if you could just give Martin your details, and then I'll just send it over to you. Is that all right? Fantastic. So number four we've done. Number five, recall. How much time we got? Okay. recall the miracle in you. Now this was a bit of a revelation for me, really. Again, sorry, I keep going back to it. But that last year in that session, after that session, I kid you not, three different people messaged me or contacted me in some way and reminded me, reminded me that I was a miracle, that I am a result of the supernatural. And that was really encouraging to hear. But I honestly believe that it was, like, prophetic for what God was wanting to speak over me. Because what I've realized in hindsight is that I'm living testimony of what God has done supernaturally in my life. I'm going to just quickly share a couple of stories, very quickly. So one of the things that God has done in my life, which I forget sometimes because it's so normal to me now. Growing up, I was really, really scared of needles. And to the point where up until I was 21, 22, I'm anemic, so I have to go and have blood tests every now and again. And every time, even at 21, 22, I had to go, I'd make my mum drive me there, hold my hand, and, like, to get the blood drawn and stuff. You know, take me back. I was like, Mum, I can't drive. I'm going to have a sore arm and things like that. But really, I just wanted her there. I was so, so scared of needles. Like, I'd have just, I wouldn't say, like, panic attacks, because I know, like, anxiety is, like, a real thing. But I was really just nervous and hated it and was not a fan of it. And then there was one day I went to have a blood test and I was sat in the car and I was like, Mum, I'm actually really tired of being scared of this. And I remembered, like, a friend of mine from when I was a child, she is a really, really good dancer. And there was one time I went to a youth conference and she was performing. And at the end, I was like, you did so good. And, like, I dance as well, but I know that I always get nervous when I go to dance. And I was like, you did so good. Like, were you not nervous? She was like, no. And I said, oh, how comes? Like, this performance. And she said when she was like a young child, she prayed that she would never have stage fright. And God answered that prayer. She'd never had stage fright. And I was just like, wow, God, with you, it's that simple. And so in the car, I remembered that moment. I was like, right, Lord, it's simple with you. Can you just take this fear of needles away? And I kid you not, that day and from that day onwards, every time I go and get any sort of jab or any kind of injection, I just sit there and watch them do it. And I'm like, why? Like, why are people almost like, it's bad. It's almost like prideful. Like, how are people scared of this? Like, come on. Lord, humble me. But that is what God did. And I fail sometimes to recognize, like, God, actually, that is a supernatural thing that you've done in my life. So much so that when I got my second COVID vaccine, I went to, like, this, it's kind of like on rotation, like, yeah, it was just loads of people getting the vaccines at the same time. And the woman that came to give me my jab, she was like, I've been on an 8-hour shift today and you are the second person I've been able to jab. And she was like, and I've jabbed like hardback men. That's actually not freaked out, not squealed, and was able to sit there and look at me, give you the jab. And I was like, wow, like, God, you did something so simply for me that grown men struggle with. I was like, yes. But literally, like, that's God. That is God. Psalm 34:4. I sought the Lord and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. That's a miracle. Loads more. Because of time, I probably won't share too many more testimonies. I wanted to give you loads, but another thing that happened for me was I was praying one night and God had given me this job opportunity and I was praying whether or not to take it because it would mean that I'd get a pay cut because I'd have to cut one of my days at church. So I'd get a pay cut to take on this job that wasn't going to make up for it. So I was like, God, like, I'm going to be losing money, but this is an open door. Do I need to do this? And I prayed for that night. I don't know why. But I was like, okay, Lord, make it really clear through a dream. No word of a lie. The next morning, I woke up. God had given me a dream and he confirmed that this is it was very clear. He confirmed that I needed to take this job. So God spoke to me through dreams. I was taking part in the supernatural. This has never happened again since, but another quick story is that I go to every year, although I didn't go last year, I go to an event called David's Tent. And my housemate went with me the first time I went. And there was one morning, I think it was the last morning, I woke up. I thought I woke up. Honestly, up to now, I don't know whether I was awake or sleeping. But I had a clear vision of her. And I won't go into details because I guess that was for her. That was what God wanted for her. But I had this very clear vision of her and Jesus doing something in and through her. And it was on the way back in the car. And it was almost like a trance. And apparently, I've been reading on the supernatural, apparently like a trance is a thing that God can do went like to you or through you in terms of visions as well. Like I honestly thought I was awake, but then I kind of came out of it. It was really, really weird. And God gives me visions in that, like, in meetings and things like that as well. But this is something that had never happened before because it almost felt real, like I was participating in what was happening. And anyway, shared that with her, and that it was like a marking moment in her faith journey. And I was like, wow, God, you used me to do that. But again, I was thinking like miracles are like, you know, seeing blind people see, and which they are. But recalling the miracles in your life and in you helps you to realize God is actually doing supernatural things in your life. And even if you think that your life has been somewhat mundane, somewhat normal, you've grown up in, you know, a quote unquote perfect family, you've grown up going to church, you chose to follow Jesus and your life has been somewhat smooth sailing, that's still a miracle because there's a lot of other people whose lives aren't that way and haven't been that way. And so there is a miracle inside each and every one of us. And we need to be able to recall that because it's not us that's doing it. It's God's work in and through us. So those are 5 different tips, nuggets for us, because we can't lead in it if we're not living in it. Very quickly then. What's the time? Yeah, very quickly. Tips for leading the supernatural stuff. So the first thing is, I've said it before and I'll say it again. Remember, kids' church is the church. And I say that because in Sunday services, spaces are made for supernatural things to happen. In conferences, spaces are made for supernatural things to happen. And so if we want to live in it and lead in it, that means on a regular basis, in our children's churches, in our Wednesday or Thursday clubs, we need to make space. And it might feel awkward at first, but we need to make space for God to do supernatural things. If we're not expecting it, then he won't do it. So we need to make sure that we make space. There's a difference between explaining and training. Training involves doing and giving opportunities for others to practice. So we've got teams of people who help us do what we do. If I'm not making space for it, then the culture isn't being built that Jesus does things when we are together. And so our leaders then that we're training up, our leaders aren't experiencing it, aren't expecting it. And that means that the children aren't seeing it and being led in it and expecting it. And so there never comes a culture of we come expecting Jesus to do things. But what happens if we do start doing that? What happens if, you know, we pray for a child, prays for an adult who has a headache, and then they get healed, and that becomes a practice? Like, what happens if I just got a picture of a child in church being so confident that Jesus is going to heal their friend that they're like, right, you're coming to church with me next week, we are going to get you healed? What happens if that's the culture that's built within our churches? Children are the church. I can't stress that enough. Second thing is, give opportunities for participation. When Jesus heals Jairus' daughter in Mark 9, before he sends them out, and it's in Mark 5 and I think somewhere in Luke as well, he takes three of his disciples with him. They get to participate. So they watch him heal, that he teaches them in the early chapters of Matthew. Then he watches them heal and do really like cool, miraculous things. Then he takes a few and he gets them to participate, gets them to be there when he's healing. And that's a privilege, by the way, to be called closer to Jesus and to participate in the things that he's doing, which we're all called to. That is a privilege that we need to honour and thank God for. But he takes those disciples in with him. I'm just going to quickly read that passage. While Jesus was still speaking, some people came from the house of Jairus, the synagogue leader. "Your daughter is dead," they said. "Why bother the teacher anymore?" Overhearing what they said, Jesus told him, "Don't be afraid, just believe." He did not let anyone follow him except Peter, James, and John, the brother of James. When they came to the home of the synagogue leader, Jesus saw the commotion with people crying and wailing loudly. He went and he said to them, "Why all the commotion and wailing? The child is not dead, but asleep." But they laughed at him. After he put them all out, he took the child's father and mother and the disciples who were with him and went in where the child was. He took her by the hand and said to her, "Talitha kum," which means, "Little girl, I say to you, get up." And so it's all about allowing people to participate in what you're doing. One of the things I struggle with, being honest, is being able to spot leadership potential in people, but then getting them on board and then not really knowing where to go with them to sort of build a leader in them. And maybe it was 2 years ago, Emma, again, it's really good to have connections. Emma's a great person if you haven't gathered already. But Emma, I was talking to Emma about this and she sent me this leadership square, and it was really, really helpful for me in like training other children's leaders. And it's very simple. It's I do, you watch, you do, sorry, I do, you help, you do, I help, and then you do, I watch. Very, very simple. But that, I realise, can work in the context of the Holy Spirit and getting children to participate in the things of the Spirit. And so what does that look like practically? Well, simple example, praying for someone and teaching, encouraging children to pray for others. So I'm here and little John from our children's, from our kids' church, wants to learn how to pray for people. And so the first time I'm praying for Sally. Sally, I just pray that God would bless you and keep you. And I pray that you would have a really lovely week at school. John's there, he's watching. Did I say John? Yeah, I can't remember. John was there, he's watching. The second time round, I'm praying again, but John is the one that's laying hands on Sally. Father God, I just thank you for that, blah, 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 blah. Amen. The third time, John's the one that is praying, but I'm the one that's laying hands. So there's still that support. I'm here with you, John, but you get to do it this time. The last one, John's the one that's laying on the hands, and John's the one that's praying, because over time we've built that confidence where he's now confident to pray and pray out loud. And that can work. It's so simple. Mate, I am really simple-minded. And so this has helped me to like think of ways, and there are, you know, there's, you can add more like details to it as you go along and stuff. But this was a really simple way for me to think, gosh, this is how leaders are made. They watch, then they help, then they do it with help, and then they're able to stand on their own two feet and lead for themselves. But practically speaking, getting people to participate in the things that you're doing is how leaders, is how, you know, our future pastors, our elders, our ministry leaders are formed. And so make sure that we get others to participate. Jesus did it, so why can't we? Number three, learn to see with your spiritual eyes. And I say that because I failed to understand just how much of what we do is actually supernatural. But also, sometimes, and you might get this as well, I see little glimpses of Jesus in the children and little glimpses of spiritual gifts in the children. And sometimes it's only a little ember, but you would be surprised as to how much encouragement can change that for a child. There was a little girl when we were in lockdown. We were doing Zoom church still. We were doing a series called Hearing from God, and we were talking about every week a different way that people can hear from God. And so I wasn't teaching this week, which I was gutted about, but it needed to be. I guess the person that was teaching was talking about hearing God through visions. And then the next week, I'm pretty sure actually the next week was our first in-person meeting probably since like March 2020. And this little girl called Kitty in our children's ministry, she came and she was like, Naomi, last week we learned about visions. Let me show you. And this child had a vision from God and turned it into like this comic strip. I kid you not, that like she told me the beginning of the vision, the middle of the vision, the da-da-da-da-da-da, right to the end. And in my mind, I was like, I can't draw. Secondly, I don't have the ability to have a vision from God and put it onto a piece of paper. But that was a natural instinct for her. And so I was like, God, there's a gift on this girl. And she doesn't even know it. She just gave something a go. And there's a gift on her. And so I made it my business to make sure that I encouraged her, that I spend the time to listen to her and encouraged her to continue to build that gift that God had given her. And so every now and again, she'll come and she'll show me a new vision. And I'm like, okay, if the vision's not for me, I don't know if she should show me, but okay. And God actually challenged me for her birthday this year. I was like, okay, God, I want to bless her, etc. And very simply, an easy way that I was able to encourage this little girl was I went to W.H. Smith and I bought her just a little sketch pad. And I was like, this is yours. This can be really, really special for you. Every time God gives you a vision, that it's for you, because if it's for someone else, well, I guess she could rip it out of the page. But anyway, anytime God gives you a vision, put it in this book. This was my way of saying, this is really special, that this thing that God has given you. Here, take it, use it. And so learn to see with your spiritual eyes. As leaders, we have a responsibility to raise leaders. We have a responsibility to call out the gifts of God in people's lives. And so let's make sure that we've got our eyes open to see how God has gifted our children, to see how God has gifted our leaders as well. Because we all know at this point that the traditional, you know, fit the bill children's pastor, there isn't one. And so the calling out the giftings in our team, calling out the giftings in our children can go a long way in the kingdom. I think I am in the place that I'm in because of one person who saw something in me and said, okay, let's run with it. Where were we? Learn to see with your spiritual eyes. The fourth thing, celebrate small wins. Teach the children to see God's super in their natural. So we were talking about that earlier. But in terms of leading, you know, when we do something called... Becky, what's it called? Rose and Thorn. We do something called Rose and Thorn, and it kind of started through lockdown. It was all to do with like getting the kids to be real and honest about their emotions. And basically, for the first like 10 minutes when we gathered together, we would just talk about how their week was, what were their struggles, what were their hardships. And so one of the, like, for example, the kids would often say when we would have Zoom meetings, like, I just want to see my friends. Like, that's my thorn, that I didn't get to see my friends. And so it was all about emotions and stuff. And slowly it's kind of evolved to just a sharing time, which I want to be honest, bring it back to it being about, like, being real and honest with our emotions, because we need to teach our children those things and how to manage and be equipped when it comes to their emotions. But anyways... one of the things, when people are sharing their thorns now in church, we just kind of carried it on from lockdown into what we do in the room. And when they're sharing their stuff, if someone, like, often we'll get kids sharing, you know, what they're like, you know, this week my thorn was that I really hurt my elbow. Oh, okay, is it still hurting? Yeah, it's still hurting. Okay, can someone in the room, okay, you, pray for so-and-so with their elbow. And then at the end, is it still hurting? no, it's not hurting anymore. I kid you not, it makes a difference if it's like, thank you, Jesus, or no way. Oh my goodness, God just healed your elbow. We don't want to be fake, but we want to make sure that God gets the glory that he's due. And I'm someone who's very, maybe you don't have to do it like I do it, but I'm very like expressive. But in your own way, I guess, try and communicate to the children that what has just happened is incredible, is in fact incredible. I think sometimes we can become numb to these things, but actually what God is doing is always supernatural. And so celebrate the small wins. Celebrate when someone, I don't know, is happy for the first time in a long time. You know, lockdown really affected some of our kids, and seeing someone smile. There's one of our girls called Amy who was really shy and is like high functioning but autistic. And she was really just kept to herself. And then lockdown happened and she came to kids' church. I kid you not, she is a completely different person because of the fact she did church in her the comfort of her own home. We would do Zoom. And she's come back and she's this kid who never used to answer questions, and all of a sudden is the first person to put up her hand to answer questions. In my opinion, that's a supernatural work of God throughout lockdown in her life, and I celebrate that with her every time I see her. So celebrate small wins. Number five, I think that's the last one, pastor and equip through the disappointment and demons. So explaining the nature of God in that he doesn't always answer the ways or in the time frame that we want him to. We're called to be obedient and do these things. The rest is up to God. And so it's important to reaffirm truth. One of the things that Mike said at the end of that thing is that, remember, it's about love. And so when we're training these children up to do supernatural things, to live supernaturally, I think it's really important that the heart behind what we're doing, when the child is praying for their friend who is unwell, is because we want to show them God's love. If God doesn't heal them, then that's okay. But that by you being willing to pray for a friend, or by you being willing to prophesy, to call out a gifting that one of your friends has, that's showing them God's love. And at the end of the day, they leave a little bit more encouraged. If nothing happens, they know that God loves them. And that's a thing that can continue to build. So pastor and equip through the disappointment. And that's, we could probably have a whole other conversation on how do we actually do that. But just reassuring children that this is all about love is a good place to start. The other thing is, when we're talking about supernatural and spiritual things, we have to be aware. And I know, like, as Christians, certain Christians, I would probably be one of them, don't really like to talk too much about demons because it's scary. It can be scary to children. It isn't scary, but it can be. And I think it's really important for us to not be like, not ignore the fact that the demonic exists. And because of that, sometimes when children are, there's a spiritual realm. And so it's really important for children to be equipped in those areas. I think sometimes it's happened a bit with us when children not opened up, that's not the right word. When they start to experience supernatural stuff, the enemy doesn't like that. And so I don't know if you guys have found it. Sometimes we hear, like, I've had parents come to me about, like, my child is having a bad dream. What do I do about it? And being equipped to help parents through that, and even just, you know, having one-to-one conversations with your children in your kids' ministry is really, really important. The reality of the situation is that demons are real, but as Christians, we have authority and power over them. And if we can teach children that from, like, their age then again, who knows? Who knows what they're going to be as they progress in their relationships? This is a book that I've read as well by Seth Dahl called Raising Spirit-Led Kids, Guiding Kids to Walk Naturally in the Supernatural. And there's a fantastic, we don't have time, but there's a fantastic chapter in this book about leading kids through, like, and parents and talking them through, like, the demonic stuff and how to pass that well. But yeah, I didn't want to spend too much time on that, but I just like, be aware, guys, like spiritual realm exists, and you know, we need to be aware of that. We need to even some of us like have to wrestle with that for ourselves, I think, as well, before we sort of lead children in that. But yeah, really good chapter, really good starting place. This book is more, it's written to parents, but as children's leaders, I think it's really important for us to be aware of this as well. So last book, what is it? Way. So you can't have this one, unfortunately, because this one's mine, but I will get it. I'll get your details and I'll get it sent over to you. So that is for you. Fantastic. Oh, Seth Dahl. Dahl. Everyday Supernatural, Mike Pilavachi and Andy Croft. Living a spirit-led life without it being weird. Yes, I will. The other one's already there, but I put these two there. One of them, don't read through them, because one of them's got like my notes written inside, and I don't know, it's just a bit weird. But yeah, you can have a look at the front and the back. I trust you. Okay, so how... Yeah, go on. Yeah, of course you can.
Wow.
Wow.
And this was like, they came at the door, so I knew that we wouldn't have enough party bags. I knew we wouldn't have enough food, and I was like, okay. But we had some of our year sixes at the door, because they were going to hand the party bags out, because they were helping. And I said, because I knew, I was like, I don't think we won't have enough party bags. So I said, okay, guys, maybe give the party bags to your friends or that, like that. So, and then they're like, okay, we're going to pray that we have enough. Every single child left with a party bag.
Wow. My goodness. Wow. God, we just thank you for your provision in that, Lord. And we remind ourselves, God, that you are the supernatural God in this. Lord, you did it in the Bible and you're doing it in the here and now. And we praise you and we glorify you for the fact that you are a God who provides. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So I wasn't quite sure how to end this session, if I'm being honest, because it could have gone into a Q&A, which probably I wouldn't have known the answers to your questions, because I'm on this journey myself. And so I didn't want to do that, although please feel free to ask me questions if you really want to. But I was like, God, how do we end this? And there was one particular thing that God said, I think I want you to do that. And basically, I shared with you guys earlier about how God removed my fear. And I just felt like God wanted to take away, like simply, the way that he did it for me, take away fear in some people's lives. And so if it's okay with you guys, we're just going to pray for that. So in a lot of ways, I guess whatever fear comes to mind of yours for you guys, you might not be able to tell that you're still scared of it until you're in that situation, or you're still fearful, I guess, until you're in that situation. But sometimes, it's not sometimes, you'll know there and then. And so I'm just going to pray very simply for God to take away fear. So, yeah, just maybe there's a specific fear. Maybe you're just a fearful person in general. But just, yeah, for a moment, just think about maybe one thing that you're like, oh, God, this is clouding me. This is, I don't want this to be a hindrance in my life anymore. Father God, I just thank you so much for the fact that you are a supernatural God and you put your super in our natural. And Holy Spirit, I thank you that we have you. I just pray right now, Lord, that the fears that are on people's minds and that are on people's hearts right now, the God who wants to remove every one of our fears, I sought the Lord and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears. Psalm 34, verse 4. God, I just pray right now that that would be the reality of the people in these room, in this room right now. In the name, the powerful name of Jesus, fear be gone. For God hasn't given you a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And so fear be gone now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, that's it. Thanks, guys.